This is It Takes Two. Amy Eiler, JJ Gordon here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And he's Larry Magid of LarrysWorld.com. And now, I guess, of the BBC, tell us about your new gig before we get into the story of the day, Larry.
Yeah, it's a temporary, at least for 3 months. We'll see what happens after that, where I'm going to be a correspondent or a reporter for the Bay Area. Well, from the Bay Area, but I'm going to be talking on BBC World, which is the entire country. It's aired at 5:30 Central Time. It's also aired early in the morning in Asia, so a big Asian audience and a big U.S. audience from BBC World. So if you have access to BBC World on your cable channel, and many do, tune in to 5:30 today.
5:30 p.m. tonight. That's Central Time, yep. BBC World. Are you going to be chatting about what happened with TikTok and the Trump rally, or what are you going to be
talking about? No, I'm actually going to be talking about, the other big news. In 20 minutes, Apple will be holding a press conference, virtual press conference. Actually, they'll be holding the Worldwide Developers Conference, I should say, and we'll be making some announcements. So I'm going to be commenting on whatever they announce, which I think is pretty interesting. Maybe you and I can talk about that later in the week and after Apple makes their announcement.
Yeah, I want to, because it seems like Apple's in a little bit of hot water right now, and they really need the buzz to change to look at this amazing new thing that we're coming out with.
Funny you say that, because that's a great segue into what we're supposed to talk about today, which is the Trump rally and the potential role of Twitter and the word hot water and having to redirect. Because that, as you know, I did a piece on Forbes, and I basically pointed out how a 51-year-old grandmother and tens of thousands of teenagers derailed the Trump rally. Now, it's unclear why the turnout was so bad. As you know, he said that he expected 1 million people, and 6,200 showed up in the indoor arena. But one of the arguments is that these tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of teenagers across the country and around the world asking for tickets. Now, that may not have kept people away, but it certainly must have influenced those bragging that we're going to get 1 million people that both the campaign manager and the president said over and over again ahead of this rally.
This isn't something that is an isolated incident either. Things like this have happened previously with these political rallies.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And it's also not the first, right? And it's also not the first time that people have been punked. For example, K-pop. I don't know a lot about Korean music. I'm going to have to tune into K-pop. It sounds like a fun genre. But the K-pop fans had earlier done some things around conservative media, posting memes and other images on conservative websites. So these, what we have now, just as the Russians were able to use social media to influence the campaign, now we have teenagers using social media to influence politics. And this could be very powerful. This particular trick will never probably work again, but I wouldn't be surprised if these creative kids can think of other ways to, have an influence online in kind of guerrilla theater kind of tactics.
Now, Larry, we know that the president got really mad at Twitter and recently Facebook as well, too. Do you think that there's going to be some backlash as far as, maybe trying to shake things up at TikTok?
Well, I was joking earlier today, but not so much TikTok, but Mark Zuckerberg, along with John Bolton, are the only two people I know who can unite the left and the right, because they've got enemies on both sides. And the same thing with TikTok. I mean, TikTok and Facebook, are taking very different tactics. TikTok has essentially put its arm down on now, I think, 3 or 4 Trump tweets. Facebook finally took down this fake manipulated media ad. For those who don't know it, there was a wonderful, wonderful video that went viral of two children, a black kid and a white kid, two toddlers running together and hugging each other. Mm-hmm. Very sweet. CNN did a story about it, I think late last year, emphasizing how sweet it was that these kids were doing this. The Trump campaign took that video, did it in such a way that the kids were running away from each other, and implied that CNN was saying that the black kid was running away from a racist, trying to show that CNN is outflaming the division of the country. It was the exact opposite of what they did. And the issue isn't, you can criticize CNN, of course. There's all sorts of legitimate political claims you can make about anybody, but it was manipulating the media. And, of course, the Trump campaign says they did it in jest, just like the president was joking about 120,000 Americans dying of coronavirus, supposedly, and that's another story. But it was just basically fanning the flames of division, trying to imply that these black and white kids were running away from each other. Of course, that's absurd.
Mm, yeah. TikTok is a different breed of social media, though, altogether. You know, it's kind of in a different category, in my opinion, than a Twitter and a Facebook. And it would be a lot harder to sort of put down the hammer on a TikTok when the algorithms are just completely different.
Well, there's a number of issues. Number one, it's very difficult for an algorithm to police video. It's not impossible, but it's much more difficult than it is to police text. The other is, and you know, I wrote or helped publish, I should say, wrote. I published the Parents and Educators Guide to TikTok on connectsafely.org and spent a lot of time talking to the TikTok people working on that. And TikTok is really designed for kind of wacky, fun, light theater, so to speak, literally theater, it's video. And it was never really designed to have serious political discussions the way Facebook, certainly the way Twitter was, and to some extent Facebook. And so this is an interesting twist on TikTok and the fact it's being used, again, in a light, fun way in many ways for political persuasion, or in this case, political guerrilla theater. So it's unclear to me what's going to happen. Maybe TikTok is in for a transformation as a result of what happened this week.
You know, I have seen a lot more, and TikTok is probably the one social media site that I spend the most amount of time on.
I have to watch your videos. I want to see you doing whatever you do.
Here's the thing, though. I don't make videos. I just watch everybody else's. I'm like most.
JG, we should get her. You should get her to make some videos. Come on. I should.
I think, you know, we have been, I'm like, okay, what is my first dance going to be? Like, this is really the big... This is really the big decision.
I've never made a TikTok video. And
if you guys want to text in and tell me what dance I should do.
I'm thinking about it, though. You know, but I don't know what I would do. Maybe I'll do a review of whatever the new iPhone comes out, whenever it comes out.
Here's the deal, though.
I don't know.
That would be great. And I have seen, though, a trend in a more political direction. Now, it's not, I support Joe Biden or Donald Trump, and this is why. It's usually some sort of video that's lewd or a little bit crass or talking about why they do. I mean, it's just a totally different form. It would be way, way, way harder to sort of regulate that, so to speak.
Although if it's too rude, it should be taken down. I mean, it's too lewd.
Right.
I mean,
there
are rules against pornography and sexually explicit material. But, I mean, I think, but you know, lewd aside, I think in the spirit of TikTok, it ought to be at least humorous. I mean, that's kind of what they're about. It should have some kind of cultural, you know, thing to it for it to actually be effective. To just have somebody stand up there for 15 seconds and tell you why they love or hate a candidate, I think that would just be totally, it wouldn't be successful.
Right.
At all.
No, it's more like, you know, the challenge where you take an old photo and you recreate it and there's a specific sound you use with it. It's like someone... like a political candidate, and then they're holding a garbage bag, full of garbage.
I know we're going to run out of time. My bottom line on this is that what we are seeing is sort of social media activism, and we're seeing it from a group that we really didn't expect to see it from, I think, which is teenagers. And I think that could have a profound impact going forward. You know, I was a teenager during the early times of the Vietnam War and later a college student. And, you know, young people were largely credited for turning the country against the war in Vietnam. Young people were credited for the civil rights movement. And certainly if you look at who's in the streets right now protesting racial injustice, it's young people. We had megaphones, we had mimeograph machines, and that was about it. They have social media, which is so powerful.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what they do with it.
And I'll post a link to your story at kfgo.com, but a really interesting piece in the lessons from the anti-Vietnam War movement and how you can sort of see the similarities into what's happening now. That was a really interesting piece of your article. Larry Magid, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate your time as always. Let us know how the Apple news all shakes out.
Yeah, next time we'll be completely apolitical. We'll just talk about, you know, something really emotional. Technology.
Sounds good. Thanks, Larry. Check out all of his work at larrysworld.com. Join the KFGO.